icy rain pelted down from a midnight dark sky, although it was technically still an hour or so before official sunset. Wind lifted sheets of water, blowing it into the faces of anyone foolish enough to be out and about in it, and waving delicate veils of dancing mist where it whipped the water cascading from eaves. None of the visitors converging on the Church of the Holy Archangel Bedard had either the time or the inclination to stop and observe the weather. The landscaped shrubbery and ornamental trees around the church flogged limbs to which the last colorful sprays of leaves still clung or waved branches already bared by approaching winter as the wind lashed the church's solid stonework, and that was a far better metaphor for the visitors than any fanciful visions of dancing water. The Church of the Holy Archangel Bedard was quite old. Tradition had it that Archangel Bedard's had been built within only a year or two of the temple itself, although, unlike the temple, it was manifestly the work of mortal hands. And despite its antiquity, it was little used these days. It lay within less than 2 miles of the temple, and any who could preferred to walk the additional few thousand yards to worship at the temple. Despite that, its age and the fact that the Bedardists considered it the mother church of their order meant it was carefully maintained, and like every church, its doors were perpetually unlocked, open to any worshiper at any hour, as the law required. Yet the temple's proximity meant the church was undeniably all but forgotten by the vast majority of the faithful, and so it was left to itself most of the time, drowsing away in the shadows of its larger, newer, and more prestigious brothers and sisters. Indeed, most of the time people seemed to forget it was even there, which was what made it appropriate to the ends of the men gathering within it despite the pounding rain. The last visitor arrived, slipping through the heavy wooden doors into the church's anteroom. He surrendered his cloak to a waiting underpriest, revealing the orange cassock of a vicar of the Church of God awaiting, and then walked briskly into the church proper. The residual scent of centuries of incense, candle wax, and the printer's ink of prayer books and hymnals greeted him like a comforting hand, despite the wet autumn chill which could be clearly felt even here, and he drew the perfume of Mother Church deep into his lungs. 20-odd other men waited for him. Most of them wore the same orange cassock he wore, but there were others in the more modest attire of archbishops and bishops. There were even a couple of mere upper priests, and all of them turned to look at him as he arrived among them.
"I beg your pardons, brothers,"
Vicar Samuel Wilson's deep, beautifully trained voice, well suited to his priestly calling, carried easily through the sound of rain pounding on the church's slate roof and pattering against the stained glass windows.
"I had an unexpected visitor, on purely routine church business, just as I was preparing to leave."
Several of the other men had tensed visibly at the words "unexpected visitor," only to relax with almost audible sighs of relief as Wilson finished his sentence. He smiled wryly at their reactions, then waved one hand at the pews at the front of the church.
"I believe we should probably be about our business now that the late arrival is among you," he said. "It would never do to have to explain what the lot of us are doing out here on a night like this if someone should happen by."
As he'd intended, his choice of words engendered a fresh air of urgency, and the others settled quickly into the pews he'd indicated. He himself walked to the rail around the sanctuary, genuflected to the traditional mosaics of the archangels Langhorn and Bedard, then rose and turned to face them once again.
"First," he said gravely, "allow me to apologize for summoning all of you on such short notice, and for asking you to gather for an unscheduled meeting. All of us are only too well aware of the risks involved in improvising meetings such as this, But I believe it's essential we and all the other members of the Circle be made aware of the Group of Four's most recent decisions." No one else spoke, and he could literally feel the intensity of their eyes as they gazed at him.